everlasting struggle for world supremacy, fought between the powers of technology and magic.
We are changed. We are no longer the same after having heard certain sounds. And this is the more the case when we hear organized sounds, organized by another human being, music.
Into a pattern of glorious harmony. A program based on the universal language of music, it is our pleasure to present to you...
for the Long Range Desert Group, or LRDG. These special forces units establish themselves as the elite of the British Empire troops fighting in North Africa. They were known as the Desert Rangers.
Del 4 1982 ore 11:40 11:55. Tempi in cui il bastone veniva raggiunto dalle onde. Ambito 15 minuti. Presentazione. Esecuzione sonora.
Man who had to adapt to that, and what message is, well, I thought it should be the other way around. I mean, you know, it's, you should first find out how people really work, and then, if anything, try to elaborate an abstract model.
Various lengths of time just become like a density, rather than like a feeling of a rhythm or pulse. And just the whole idea of like you have a large length of time, and then you have another length of time that's a little bit larger, or a little bit shorter.
Thank you.
there's a constant repetition of a single pitch, and there are accents placed at different points in that repetition, so that first you get this sense of a varying shape, almost as though you have like bar lines. They're grouped into 8 and 7 and 13, and the groupings keep changing. How long?
The animal's still shaking.
Man, you know, be pretty hard for it. So anyway, not too long ago, I start playing, you know, something by myself, you see, right side, and get up before daylight in the morning and play that by yourself, get the sound, and it's nice. And listening to the sound, yes, sound, yeah, brings things in your memory, in your brain.
boats will be down beyond that point down there. And it means the fog, obviously. They can't hear this calling. And the call of that is
It'll be in thick fog, and I'll be
2 miles here.
They can't hear East Point. It's directly running northeast.
We turn the horn on so they can
northeast
get the
and southwest. This harbor is northeast and southwest. Northeast and southwest.
East Point, okay. When
you're coming up there, take the harbor. You got to take a southwest way to East Point. You hit the measure run right there.
Mm-hmm.
Many is the time I've seen a ship turn and head off to sea.
Which I gave to being a friend, meant it that way, but just that. People say misfortunes and bad statements given and everything well in. While I'm repeating plans and theories, the climate more or less comes out, changes into pollution plans. Sometimes it even casts my mind into a dream that I don't even realize that I'm doing to stop, but my nature is doing the thing. As a maker, well, the dancer in history, and as prophecy, more or less, I gotta be too. Faithful one, and if there was no entertainment such as beer, I'd be lynched before I make a step. I gotta be the second proper for entertainment, people spending a part of their hard earnings, imposter. No, not a bad imposter, don't mean. Everyone needs a treat and a beer and that, but when I think of people more or less spending a little too much, like I often do myself, I'm human myself, I take a drink, that goes in a sort of a way, more or less, to drink. I put that word in there myself, I didn't have to do it. But if I didn't put it in and there were no drinks, well, there'd be nobody there. Space will just exist, and that's all.
That when you go to a concert and you listen to someone play Mozart, he has nothing to sell except the sound of the music. He doesn't want to convert you to anything. He doesn't want you to join an organization in favor of Mozart's music as opposed to, say, Beethoven's. And I approach you in the same spirit as a musician with his piano or a violinist with his violin. I just want you to enjoy a point of view which I enjoy.
Vienna. One must love this city and the beautiful Blue Danube, a city much talked about, fought over, and subject of great songs, age old and yet forever young. The city is and always has been the center of world movement and attention, both in political activities and in art and science. Vienna, the heart of Europe and border of two worlds. The landmark of the city is the Stephan's Dome, or Old Steffel, as it is sometimes fondly called. It is primarily of Gothic structure and is located in the center of the city. And also located here was the Roman Vindobona, whose history can be traced back to the first century after Christ. Originally, the cathedral was to have had two twin spires, but the construction of the North Tower had to be stopped. In the steeple, just below the warder's room, hung a 20-ton bell called the Pumarin, which was cast from captured Turkish cannon in the year 1711. It was rung only on special occasions, and at the end of World War II, a raging fire caused the bell braces to burn and the bell to fall, smashing it to pieces. After the war, a new bell was cast and blessed, and now it has its place in the North Tower. The old city walls and ramparts called the Bastion have given way in the last 100 years to the beautiful Ringstrasse, which you see now. Since then, well-known architects have built what are now landmarks along this city boulevard.
I'm here to give a speech. But anyway, I know what happened to the world. But before, there was a lot of talk and lots of ghosts.
Vienna is a true garden city.
I say now.
Large parks accent the famous monuments of the masters.
Don't hear.
And here we look across the Volksgarten to the city hall.
Don't see the devil.
Not only are there big parks in Vienna, but the outer districts contain these restful, colorful places, which also break up the monotony of speedy traffic lanes, and they're frequented by natives and tourists alike. The parks are decorated with rose gardens and great stone vases. If we turn to the left, we see, on the other side of the ring and opposite the Volksgarten, the Parliament. Here the government officials meet under the watchful eyes of the Greek goddess of wisdom, Pala Athene. The Austrian president resides in the Hofburg. This is a group of monumental buildings bordering on the Volksgarten. This little section grew to be, over the course of centuries, the seat of reigning monarchs. The building of the Hofburg was begun in the 13th century by Rudolf von Habsburg, and construction continued until the end of the 19th century. What you see to the left is the old Hofburg, and to the right, the new section with the columns belongs to the new Hofburg. The treasure chambers in the Hofburg hold precious spiritual as well as worldly items of greatest value. One must see them. And here before us on the Heldenplatz, the hero's place, royal guards could be seen until the year 1918. The noonday guard change with the spit and polish of marching soldiers were events as well as the brass bands, which pleased the very enthusiastic public.
I've been watching this stuff for a number of years, at least a year or two. Watching this bright star, and I say to myself, that's not a star.
The Spanish Riding School, located in a wing of the Hofburg, is the only one of its kind. It cultivates the century-old classic high school of riding.
It made a semicircle.
What an everlasting impression it is when in the white riding arena, the noble Lipizzan studs perform under riders garbed in white pants, swallow-tailed coats, and two-cornered hats. The Viennese theater life is very active. There are 12 large theaters and a number of smaller ones, which offer performances ranging from classics to very modern. Most world-renowned is the Berg Theater, where the language used has become a guide for the German-speaking world.
Even though it's dark here.
The Viennese is an avid theater-goer, and during the tourist season, during the festival weeks, it is difficult to obtain tickets. The Vienna State Opera has gained international fame.
During World War II, it was badly damaged and later rebuilt. It was reopened with festival and fanfare on the 5th of November, 1955, with Beethoven's opera, Fidelio. The theater seats 2,200 people, and its stage ranks as one of the most modern in the world. Not without proper due, Vienna is called the center of music. Here, Beethoven, Mozart, Bruckner, Haydn, Schubert have created their everlasting masterpieces and found never to be forgotten performers.
Hypnotized by this spellbinding note, the violins move upward to F themselves. The other strings join in. It's like a patch of cloud, ominous and gray, until again the sunlight of A major reappears. And they said that all the time this has been happening, the violin has been trilling like a lark, far above the disturbing harmonic changes in the orchestral part. At a much later moment in the movement, Beethoven lays a trap for us by having an apparently similar passage, with the trill and everything. But this time, he produces a miraculous surprise. A new and incredibly lovely tune emerges, as expansive as a Chopin nocturne, and yet with a Mozartian simplicity. And all the time, like a restraining hand, keeping it all relevant to the movement as a whole, the horns quietly reiterate the four repeated notes in the first bar of the work. In addition to being the emotional core of the movement, that passage also fills a vital architectural function. For in the end, it restores the tonal center of the piece, so that we are now all set for the final re-establishment of D major. This is a moment of triumph, and Beethoven emphasizes its importance by having the whole orchestra in unison hammer out the first repeated drum note.
Now closes his treasure chest of musical gems and looks forward to opening it again for you on his next program. If you have a favorite song close to your heart, Orla Pandit will try to include it on one of his future programs if you will please write to him in care of this station.
Does he allow final concession of virtuosity after this twilight coda? The slow movement is a romance, with the orchestra stating a tune which is full of contemplative silences. These are skillfully placed by Beethoven, for they give him an opportunity to fill them with expressive comments from the soloist when they are repeated later. For example, the first three harmonies appear in this simple manner.
And he had it better, the Straussianni, that's Johann Strauss. Although a musician himself, Father Strauss was opposed to his oldest son's desire to become a musician too. But still he became the famous waltz king. His melodies and those of his brother are known, heard, and danced to all over the world. Truly a royal dynasty, a sweeping triad. Johann, Joseph, and Edward Strauss. The Johann Strauss Monument is located next to the ring in the city park, where he often presented concerts with his orchestra. He and many other masters have cultivated Viennese light music played here. There was the story of Josef Helmesberger, whose sharp tongue was also as well known as his devil's dance. Once when a violinist, known for his vanity, ruined his solo, Helmesberger called angrily, "I beg you, it would have been better had you remained seated and let the solo stand." This is Upper Belvedere, begun in 1700. One of two well-known Baroque castles, the Upper and the Lower Belvedere. Lying between the two is a tremendous park. This was the summer home of Prince Eugen, that's Prince Eugene, victor over the Turks. The successor to the Austrian throne, Franz Ferdinand, whose murder in Sarajevo caused the outbreak of World War I, lived in the Upper Belvedere between 1904 and 1915. In the mirror room of Upper Belvedere, foreign ministers from England, France, the United States of America, Russia, and Austria signed the state treaty in 1955, which gave Austria her freedom.
Serious, and that the frowns are like the affectionate dragon of my favorite dog.
The 180 feet high Ferris wheel in the Prater is also one of the landmarks of Vienna.
Is full of humor. For instance,
the Prater is a beautiful natural park bordering on the inundation area of the Danube. In the 16th century, it was an exclusive showplace for royal festivities. In 1766, Emperor Joseph II opened it for his Viennese for public use. One of the main attractions is the Volksprater, the People's Prater, also called the Wurstelprater, with its shows, shooting galleries, swings, merry-go-rounds, and concessions of all kinds. A specialty is the Lilliputbahn, a miniature steam frame with open cars where small and big passengers alike are taken in a wide round tour through the Prater.
Love.
You get tired. You get to hear the same song over and over and over. Ah, I don't know. Bye-bye, here's another one.
An area of the Danube. In the 16th century, it was an exclusive showplace for royal festivities. In 1766, Emperor Joseph II opened it for his Viennese for public use. One of the main attractions is the Volkspreiter, the People's Prater, also called the Wurstelpreiter, with its shows, shooting galleries, swings, merry-go-rounds, and concessions of all kinds. A specialty is the Lilliputbahn, a miniature steam train with open cars where small and big passengers alike are taken in a wide, round tour through the Prater.
You can hear this one, it's obese here.
The true Viennese, and it is wrongly believed that he is almost extinct, does not live to work, but works to live, which means that he really appreciates an evening of leisure and knows how to make the most of it. And that is in the form of a good drop of noble wine, which grows on the sunny hills around Vienna. Grimsing on the outskirts of the city and at the foot of the Kahlenberg, is well known for its Heurigen, inns, where not only the young wine is sold, but all other well-known brands. Here one orders his fried chicken, or brings it along himself. One does not bother with cutlery, but he eats heartily using the fingers.
It's nice to know that.
And the Schrammel music. Johann and Josef Schrammel, two full-blooded Viennese musicians, were the founders of the typical Viennese music quartets. Two violins, one accordion or clarinet, and a guitar. And when the musicians walk from table to table and sing and play requests, it is called Anstrudeln. The southwestern edge of the city is slightly hilly. There we find Schönbrunn, the sister of Versailles and its wonderful park. The palace with over 1,400 rooms, 44 of which are representation halls, was completed in 1749 under Empress Maria Theresia. The most famous room, called the Million Room, is decorated with fabulous Rococo ornaments and Persian miniatures. In the vicinity of the palace and the famous Zoo of Schönbrunn is another landmark for Vienna, the Gloriette, a colonnade of nearly 350 feet. Vienna, a beautiful city by day and by night. In the neighborhood of the opera stands this magnificent Baroque church with its characteristic columns. It is the Karl's Church, or Karlskirche, donated by Emperor Karl, the sixth in gratitude for the end of the plague, which raged in Vienna in the 18th century. And close to the Karl's Church is the Freihaus Theater, in which Mozart's Magic Flute was first performed. Much has vanished, gone in the course of the centuries and forgotten. What remained, lasting through good and bad times, makes this city one of the richest in tradition in the whole world. Here, past and present are united in blessed harmony. Vienna, once capital of the powerful Danube monarchy, co-determinant in the fate of the old Europe. Today, a center of spiritual life, a city where people meet and understand each other. And then you will love this city. ¶¶
In real ways, like, you know, even in reels, like, you know, like, now that's the Scottish and Irish, now the French. Now, like, now the French would be. And in all the same tempo,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very subtle differences of the same thing.
To Resonance 104.4 FM.
Do I talk here?
No, not here, because we've got all this dramatic thing.
Right. Well, I'll just live around the corner, I think.
No, if you could actually please just stay in the building.
All right.